listen up. Y'all, it's the queen of automation, Megan Donnelly, here to give you inspiration. Founders and business owners, gather round. I'ma show you how to build systems that'll astound. Streamline your processes, no need for...
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Queen of Automation, and this is our second... Well, this is actually episode number one, since the last was our pilot. Welcome to Chronically Automated, Smart Systems for Messy Realities. I've got my co-host, Anthony Labasco, and today we're going to be talking about brain fog. It is a huge thing in kind of neurodiverse... You know what? I'm just going to take neurodiverse out of it. Like, it's a huge thing across anybody's brain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's everybody's brain, whether you're neurodiverse or not. But today we're specifically talking about like what it means for me with ADHD and Anthony with MS and autoimmune, like, and that kind of stuff. And then we're going to talk about like what we do to make it go away, or what, it doesn't really go away, but to make it less impactful when you are experiencing it, and exploring some of the obstacles that it can affect, and then how to, you know, how to kind of get around it, right? I'm going to have Anthony jump in because he's got some really good research that he's done and give you like the clinical definition of what brain fog is and with from his research. And then I'll jump in and kind of tell you what I feel it is from my kind of ADHD brain perspective. And we will go from there. Anthony, take it away.
So brain fog, so you know, multiple sclerosis, right? That's a neurological disease. And when you have brain fog with MS, you know, it really affects everyone differently. So I think just generally speaking, it's a slowing down or disruption of mental processes, right? And that is caused by the impact on the central nervous system, right? Even though we look great, nothing is wrong, you look okay, we hear that constantly. There is, a big effect on the central nervous system. And as a result, I mean, one of the side effects of that is brain fog, which really damages really the proactive covering of nerves called myelin sheaths, at least with MS, right? So at the end of the day, it's gonna disrupt a lot of the transmission from the brain to, you know, the nerves and everything. So you can't really sometimes finish sentences or finish thoughts, or, you know, you may even have some short-term memory lapses, trouble finding words, right? So I may actually do that during this podcast. Losing your train of thought, mid-sentence, difficulty processing. I mean, there are many things. So again, that's pretty much how it translates to MS. But Megan, with you, with ADHD, I mean, I'll pass on to you.
Yeah, so it's similar, right? Like, it is very similar in the sense that, so the other day, I was telling my 19-year-old, I lost my phone, it was yesterday or the day before, like four times. Like, it was just, and it wasn't, I just set it down somewhere, and then I could not remember where it was. It happened to me like four times. And it happens, that kind of stuff happens to me all the time. So it's a constant struggle, because my brain is always moving, right? So there's ADD and there's ADHD, which is the hyperactive, right? And anybody who's known me for more than 5 minutes knows I'm very hyperactive. I'm always like, woohoo! I'm always moving, right? So the hyperactivity part, unfortunately, with the brain, you're thinking about like 8,000 things all at once, all the time. So it's the simple things. For me, the brain fog is, where did I put my pen that I was just using? Where's my phone? Where are my keys? Like, it's the little simple things that everybody else takes for granted, like that they, you know, that kind of like short-term memory loss that's just gone. Like, it's just, you know, that kind of, because that stuff, don't need to think about that. Really, at the end of the day, that's a very minute thing, except if I have to go somewhere and I can't find my keys. The notification, right? Like, that's why I have so many notifications all over the place, because I can never remember the small things. Like, it's the little things. The big stuff, no problem. But the little individual tasks, and it's like an everyday thing. This isn't just, you know, like you experience brain fog every once in a while. This is pretty constant. The medications that are out there, I choose not to medicate myself. I don't think that anyone needs a class one narcotic. To me, that doesn't sound like it's actually going to help your brain anymore or function any better. But what those drugs do from a clinical standpoint is they slow the hyperactivity down. So when you hear all the reports out there of like kids and being zombies, that's what they're doing. So they're over medicated, right? So you have to like do the dosages based on your weight type thing. And so when you hear all those stories about kids turning into zombies, it's because they're over medicated. So I've experienced this. I have a son who's also ADHD, very high anxiety. And we went through this during, you know, like his growth spurt and during, you know, like hormones. And the medicine couldn't keep up with his growing, right? So I ended up stripping him off all of his medication altogether because it was either he was like super violent or he was super brain foggy. Like, it was like he was constantly this zombie. Like, he was like in this constant state of brain fog where he was just like, you know, super mellow, super, but not there. And that's kind of how I feel about brain fog, is that it's this state of, like Anthony was saying, like, you don't complete sentences. It's because your whole brain is just shut down almost, right? Like, it's almost like it's just completely shut down and yeah, it doesn't function. It's weird. Yeah, it's a super weird state of mind.
Yeah, and the key to all this, too, is that it doesn't happen all the time. At least, you know, for me,
right?
I mean,
right.
It will, you'll have your moments, and then sometimes everything will be fine. However, you know, to your point, it happens. It's a recurring. So, you know, something doesn't happen once, and that's it. Yes. You know, if someone, you know, has a bad hangover and you have brain fog, yeah, okay, that makes sense, but you know, it's not the case for us.
And it doesn't happen. It's not like there's a schedule, right? Like, this doesn't just happen like every Tuesday at 9 a.m. I have brain fog. No. It doesn't work like that. So there are days when I wake up and I know like my brain's not having it today. There's no way I'm doing anything with data or automation, like anything technical, because my brain, it's not happening. And I have physically had to like train myself and learn and accept the fact that if my brain is not having a good day, that's just how it is, right? And it could be 2 hours, it could be 4 hours, it could be the whole day. Now, generally, because I have that kind of unicorn thing where I can work on either creative or analytical things, I can bounce back and forth, that's actually served me pretty well because I can jump into a creative mode where I'll start designing a user experience or start designing something. And that for me seems to kind of help my brain get back into like relax a little bit, put some music on, noise canceling headphones, like, and kind of get back into things. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know how it would affect you because between like pain and that, like at the same time, I mean, do you just go back to bed and like curl yourself up under your blanket and be like, yeah, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, I mean, for some of us that have MS, and again, you know, when you have multiple sclerosis, it's different for everyone, right? So some people experience this constantly. Yeah. You know, for me personally, and again, you know, this is just my story and everyone's got their own story. And I will constantly say this, but, you know, it's a daily thing. So, but for me, when I was diagnosed, the first thing I said is, oh my goodness, how am I going to compete at the highest level, which is what I'm used to doing. And meanwhile, I was competing at a very high level, but I was competing at a high level with brain fog and things that I thought were just normal in the sense that, you know, just a result of stress. So once you kind of dig in
and tired that, or something like that. Yeah,
exactly. And when you unpack that a bit and say, okay, well, maybe, you know, on the day-to-day basis in terms of working out, eating well, and, you know, keeping yourself healthy. Yeah, absolutely. But there is still, look, it's a neurological issue that happens. So you get as much working out as you do and as healthy as you eat and everything like that is still going to happen, especially when you least expect it, right? Yeah. As Megan was saying, right? So it's really a matter of just kind of, I guess, embracing it and saying, you know what? Okay, this is going to happen. And maybe it's going to happen when you really least expect it. And at the time when you're actually, maybe during a podcast, you know, when you're talking and you're train of thought and stuff, which thankfully hasn't happened yet almost. But, you know, but man, they're just, I just love the ways that we, you know, have figured out or have kind of put things in place for us to, you know, kind of not combat it, but just, I guess I call it barriers, right? Yeah. That really help us to, you know, remain constant. It's kind of like when you're bowling and remember like, Your kids were bowling when they were younger. They would have the, what do you call
it? Coming
up?
The bumpers.
Bumpers, exactly. So the bumpers.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we do.
Yeah. So it's funny because the obstacles that we overcome with that we have to overcome are like, it's inconsistent. First of all, you don't know when it's going to happen. We both just said this. And you lose time, you lose deadlines, you lose tasks, like you miss things. You miss, when, at least when it comes to business. Now we're kind of reframing. And it happens in life too. Like I feel like I'm constantly late for everything. It's gotten better, I think, since I've been able to control it with notifications and stuff. But I'm always late, like I'm constantly late. Or I have, like, the hair salon, I have to tell them, the girl, thank God, they're also one of my clients. I tell the girls at the front desk, if you want me there at 11, you need to tell me my appointment's at 10:30 so that I leave by 10. Because like, if I leave at 10:30, I'm not going to get there by 11 because, you know, I'm going to be like, oh, I have 5 more minutes. It's 10:45 and oh, now I'm late. It's
yeah,
just
no
the way, like, it's just constant. That's just kind of how my world is. So those challenges in the business world, when you have brain fog, think about all the things that could happen, like missed tasks, missed deadlines, and then you have poor customer service, and then people are pissed off at you, your clients are pissed off at you, your partners are pissed off at you because you're not living up to their expectations. And it really becomes a problem. Like it becomes a problem if you let it. And I think, not I think, but I know that the things that we're putting in place right now with DMC especially are tools that can help get around brain fog. So for people that are going to have brain fog, that are neurodiverse, that are diagnosed with something like we have, it's going to happen whether, like Anthony said, it's going to happen whether you medicate yourself or whether you do, like whatever you do, exercise, eat, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do, it's going to happen. So it's time to start putting in place notifications, automations, digital checklists, like focus sessions. I do focus sessions where, well, time blocking, right? I think is a better term that more people understand. You know, time blocking. When people talk about time blocking their calendars, that helps get rid of brain fog. Because if you know, and some people go so far as to time block for like 15 minutes, like you have an hour to do LinkedIn work. The first 15 minutes is going to be outbound. The second 15 minutes is going to be inbound. The third 15 minutes is going to be commenting, you know, your power hour, like whatever. Sometimes if I do that, it's actually better. And then you have the notifications start going off every 15 minutes to tell you it's time to switch, right? There are days when I have to do that. I don't know about yourself, but there are days when I have to give myself as many notifications as possible because my brain goes down the tunnel and I'm not switching. Like I'm not switching. I'm working on this thing and I don't want to work on anything else.
Yeah. So Megan and I have talked about this before. I mean, obviously we're here right now, but you know, the way it's really ironic because Megan she was a dancer, you know, in her early days, but I call it for me choreographing my days. Like literally, I said this for years and I had no idea that I had this. And I just said, you know what? I need to choreograph what I am doing every day. So I know that during this time, I do this and I do that, you know, just kind of turning and saying, okay, whoa, the calendar says this, boom. Then I can kind of move there. I have, you know, tons of alarms and things like that too on my phone, which are kind of annoying, especially for people that don't really maybe not know me and just constantly hear my phone going off. But, you know, there are certain things that we all do. So, you know, in terms of, you know, I think we were talking about DMC and how that really helps, but that is a very big part of the choreographing of, you know, what is the word? See, here we go. Brain fog.
Yeah.
Choreography. There we go. So it's a big part of choreography for me, at least during the day.
I'm going to start using that. I get choreography.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good. So here's a question for you. What's super funny is, you know, as we talk about AI and automation and all the things, because automation for people who have brain fog is, or just being neurodiverse and kind of having too much jumbled shit going on in their brain. Automation is a lifesaver. And I'll tell you right now, you hear people talking about AI and automation, how it's dehumanizing and like whatever. You know what? I'm going to ask everybody who's listening this one question, and this will put it all into perspective for you. You're a new customer of mine, okay? We decided we want to work together, and you fill something out to onboard or to pay me or to book an appointment or whatever. Would you rather get an automated response or no response at all? Because I'm going to tell you right now, those kind of things, those kind of triggers, those kind of behavioral responses are necessary. And anybody who's still sending those manually, stop doing that. The manual action of sending trigger response emails or SMS or whatever takes up so much brain power. And if you're leaving your brain to do, even if you're not like Anthony or I, you're leaving your brain to do that, this is so important and one of those low-level things that you should be automating because it frees up your brain to go work on other more customer-friendly things. Like the whole point is to wow your customers. If your customers don't receive anything at all when they're expecting a response, that's going to piss them off more than receiving something automated. So everybody out there who's like, I want to automate every part of my human touch points. You know what? If it's going to save a customer from being pissed off, you should automate it. I mean, plain and simple. If you keep finding yourself forgetting to do something, automate it. Like, it's not a bad thing. People aren't stupid. They know some of these things are automated. You'll put your own, like, personal person in there when it's needed. But some of that stuff, it's just do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I, you know, just to unpack that a little bit, right? I think number one, that's an excellent point. I mean, that's absolutely. I mean, I think the standard right now is that customers expect that. They expect that kind of touch. Whether or not that's coming directly from you or whether you have three customers or 300 customers, every one of them expects the same exact thing when it comes to maybe onboarding, when it comes to doing business with you, and that's fine. But remember, everyone, regardless if you are a billionaire or much less, we all have the same amount of time during the day. So it's how we use that time and really using the time that is really best suited for us. So even though we're, let's say, automating, like Megan was saying, in terms of just an example of onboarding and things like that, getting emails to our customers, that frees up the time for us to, let's say, do these podcasts or speak to clients or maybe some other outreach that requires us to actually pick up the phone and do those types of things. And I think that's wonderful. And not only that, but getting back to brain fog, that really alleviates a lot of the anxiety around that, saying, oh my God, did I do this? Did I do that? Because again, anxiety and stress around that and really thinking about that. And like Megan was saying, in terms of her brain going in a million different directions all the time. And my brain sometimes too does that, thinking about, oh my God, did I send that email to that, to that client and everything? When you're actually talking, when you're on the podcast, the next thing you know, you have brain fog. And that's not good. So getting that is just, it's literally a big, it's just a big release in terms of, you know, just freeing up your, I guess, stress and things like that. So you can focus on more meaningful things. That's really the way I kind of look at it too.
In cases. Yep. 10 hours is what I look at. So like 10 hours a week is on average what like business owners waste. They usually waste about 10 hours a week. Now, obviously, it's different for everybody, but a lot of that is emails. A lot of that is like manual admin tasks that we're talking about. So, and again, this is not just people like Anthony and myself. This is just business owners in general, small business owners in general, anywhere from 10 to 15 hours. But the average is 10 hours a week that you are wasting on low level, like administrative management types of tasks that you should not be doing. I'm going to give you a pro tip. Let's say for some reason you're not there yet and you cannot automate the thing that we're telling you to automate, or you know, maybe there's something that you everyone keeps telling you to automate that you can automate it, and for whatever reason you're just not ready. You know what? That happens. You do you. It's your business. You have to run it the way that works best for you. You can automate the task reminder. So for example, in DMC, we can set up automated tasks reminders, right? So somebody, after somebody books an appointment with you, they get their reminders, you have the call, and maybe it's a sales call. And so you know after every sales call, you have to send them document XYZ. You can set it up so that when the call is over and you say, you know, that they showed or no showed, either show or no show, it tags the customer with showed, and then it creates a task, and then it says within 24 hours, Anthony Lovasco has to send customer Megan document XYZ, and it will keep notifying him until he's done it. It will notify you as many times as you want. And then it will notify you that it's overdue and you'll have a task list and it's going to show you. And it's also going to give you a browser notification. It's going to show up on your phone. So if for some reason you can't automate the actual physical thing, whether you don't want to or don't feel comfortable, or it's something that you have to do manually because there's nobody else that can do it, that's a whole nother discussion. Please automate the actual task. Right? Like the task creation. And then the task will notify you like, hey, you need to do this. Hey, you need to do this. Even if it is a manual task, you can still automate that front half of it. So there are ways that everybody can get started. The other pro tip that I'm going to give everybody is that when you're first starting down this journey of, if you're listening to this, and you're like, oh, I really relate to everything Anthony and Megan are saying. I'm going to go out and automate my business. I'm just going to go out and see what I, and you're just going to start automating 50 things. Don't do that. Do not start automating everything at once. You will break something, possibly your own brain. Pick one thing at a time, right? That's the other thing. For people in our situation, and Anthony can tell you all about this, we have enough going on in our brains and our lives and our businesses and our families and all of the things. You don't need to add more to it. Like, don't add. Clearing brain fog does not mean let's go add more stress to our brain.
Oh, completely.
It means pick one thing, start with that.
Yeah, I mean, I call that over automating fatigue, right? I mean, where all of a sudden you're like, wow, okay, I got everything all set up. And then all of a sudden you look at your inbox or your phone is going off like crazy and you're like, oh my God. Yeah, I believe me. I've done that. Many times.
I have 150 new people that emailed me.
And that's part of the process too, right? I mean, you have to basically think about, and sometimes it's trial and error. I mean, I'm a big trial and error guy, probably more error sometimes, but you know, knowing what doesn't work, it doesn't mean you failed. It just means it doesn't work. So figure out a way that works. That's actually better suited for you. Like, wow, okay. Maybe this is better.
Yes, that's a great thing to say. That's a great way because people are afraid. Like, don't be afraid to break stuff. You know, we always talk about the 80-20 rule in brand build and kind of our inner circle, but don't be afraid to try things. Even if they break, it's okay. Fix it. You know, talk about it. Be like, oh, I tried this thing and it broke. And talk about it in public. Talk about it with your audience. Tell people that, you know, you're human and you're real.
Totally.
Much better to be human and real with the people that you're working with and the people you're talking with, right? It's just dehumanizing to think that you have to be perfect. Like, you don't have to be perfect. We expect you to mess up. In fact, we mess up all the time.
Thank you.
I break things all the time. Now, I try not to do it live, but, you know, it happens. Yeah.
Considering I break DMC, my DMC, what, like at least once or twice a week. And I'm like, Megan, something isn't right on here. I think I broke this. And she's like, what'd you do again?
But you don't truly break it. You don't truly break it. Yeah.
I can't break it.
What's great about all of these things is that they're never, yeah. Yeah. It's great because it's not ever truly like actually broken. It's just not like, not quite, you know, it's like the gears aren't quite like connecting, you know, and then you just kind of tug them a little bit and they connect and boom. Yeah.
Yeah, my fin now is like on the bottom of the website. What did I do, Megan? Oh, it's this, and boom, it's fixed.
I deleted my logo.
Yeah, that too. But you know, those are things that we do. You know, as trial and error. But at the end of the day, you know, once we get it right, I can tell you firsthand, as a You know, I don't know if I'm still a novice. Maybe I'm sort of almost an intermediate, but still, as it continues to evolve, my relationship with DMC, with automation and everything, I mean, it's just absolutely life-changing. And, you know, once you're able to not only embrace it, but really fit it into what you are doing, it's just unbelievable. And I'm not going to get into everything that I'm doing, but I can just tell you right now that I'm doing a lot of things. And if you would have told me a year ago that I would be like managing, you know, 4 or 5 different, not clients, but let's say being a brand ambassador for, you know, with different workflows and everything like that, I would say, how is that possible to do? And that's just one facet of it. So anyway, I don't want to get on. I have to get off of my...
Everybody's busy. You don't have to get off anything. I think it's great. I think people need to hear that because people need to fully understand that we're here, right? Like we're here with these two conditions and you know what? We're making it happen. And I understand that, it, you know, different personalities and there's different levels of complexity for both of these conditions. So I want people to first of all understand that we are not saying like we are superhuman because I'll tell you right now, I just admitted to you, like I wake up, my team knows. Like I will send text messages to them in the morning or Slack them and I'll say, not happening today. Maybe I'll be on later. And they know. And they know that that means that they're just going to handle stuff for me. And, you know, the system's going to handle stuff for me. And if there's any, you know, emergencies or anything like that, obviously they know how to get a hold of me. But a team is a system. Your systems are a system. Like your actual technology is a system. When you put systems and processes in place to help what you've got going around, you know, on around you, it's so powerful. And that's the reason that so many, you know, millionaires, multimillionaires, billion-dollar, like, owners and founders, it's the reason they're able to do what they do. It's the reason because they have the right systems and processes in place so that they don't have to be there 24 hours a day. They're killer at hiring the right people to help them and do the things that they don't want to do, which is what we do, right? And there's certain things that's actually something that's totally relatable to brain fog. There are things and tasks that I absolutely hate. And can I do them? Sure. Should I do them? Absolutely not. Because if I do them, it puts me into a brain fog because I loathe them so much. So if there are tasks that you absolutely hate doing, you loathe, stop doing them right now. Like I challenge everybody. And even if they are like they make your business run, go out and find somebody else to do it for you or automate it. Because I'm telling you right now, if you continue to do those things that you absolutely dread and hate, it will take you 10 times longer. It will put you in your own kind of state of brain fog because you're going to be put into that. You're going to be so miserable that it's like self-induced brain fog almost, right? Because it's gross and it's horrible. And reach out to Anthony and I, we'll help you because that's the kind of thing that will make or break you as an entrepreneur for sure. If you're still stuck down in the weeds doing the absolute things that you hate, like the things that you absolutely hate, that's really when it's a sign to pivot and try to automate or hire a VA or hire somebody to help you or, you know, whatever it may be for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it really comes down to knowing yourself, knowing your limitations or learning, oh my goodness, I don't like this, but wow, when I do this, it's making me feel this way. Okay, once, but then it's doing it again and again. Maybe there's got to be a better way. And, you know, in a lot of cases, at least for me too, I didn't think there was a better way. I'm not saying this is not infomercial. I'm saying,
or you don't want to admit it. Or you don't want to admit it. So many owners and founders don't want to admit. Exactly. That they can't do everything. That, you know, like it's a sign of weakness. You know what? It is not a sign of weakness. You are allowed to hate things. You are allowed to not be good at everything. Again, going back to the story I just told, like, do you think that Jeff Bezos is good at everything? No, but you know what he's really damn good at? Hiring the right people and putting those people in place to do the things that they are going to be really good at that maybe he's not. Now, obviously, he was pretty phenomenal, right? Like bringing this thing up from his basement or whatever garage, I guess it was a garage, but all of us are like that. You can't be 100% at every single thing you do inside your business and out. You just can't.
It's just possible. Yeah. Do whatever you want. And that's it. I mean, it really is.
Yep. Absolutely. Whoa, we just unpacked a whole lot of stuff. I think it's a good place to stop, Anthony, unless you've got other stuff. But guys, this is so cool. Next week, or our next session is going to be how to automate your to-do list, right? Isn't that what we said? Yeah. So automating your to-do list, turning chaos into calculated wins. Yeah. So we'll get into, maybe we'll share some screenshots or even give away like some funnels or something like that. But automating to-do lists, again, goes right along with this brain fog thing. But next week, we'll kind of jump in and actually show you how to do some of this stuff. Maybe we'll use Anthony's accountant as a guinea pig and show people some cool stuff. All right, maybe we can use the demo again.
Absolutely. Do that. Yeah.
All right, guys. Okay. So just remember, everybody, technology is only good when it works. And this is Chronically Automated, smart systems for messy realities. Bye, everybody.
Yes. Bye.